All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Well, we started this notion last week of talking about whether we're attractive or just good looking. And we all came to the realization that it can't be like for all of us like it is for Mark, you know, just getting by on rugged good looks and thick hair. You know, that God has another plan for those of us who don't fit in that category. And we call that plan, we started looking at the fruit of the Spirit and how God uses the Holy Spirit to plant those characteristics in our lives so that we become attractive, because that is God's desire and God's plan for us. And so I told you that we were going to just take three of the fruit of the Holy Spirit and think about them over the next few weeks. And so tonight, we're going to continue with that. And this evening, we're going to talk about the concept of peace, the quality of peace. You know, the stereotypical idea of a beauty pageant is when they get to the question time, you know, they've had the evening gown and the swimsuit and the talent and all that kind of stuff, and then they narrow it down to the finalists, maybe the final five or whatever, and they come to the question time and they, you know, ask some sort of question. If you're chosen as Miss Universe or Miss America or whatever, or sort of what's your goal in life, and what's the stereotypical answer? What do they all want? Well, I want world peace and an end to world hunger, you know, that kind of thing. And you know, the truth is that a lot of people are looking for peace. They don't even necessarily realize it. They may not use that word, but a lot of people are looking for peace. It's something that people desperately want, whether they really even realize that's the concept that they're talking about or not. And that's the beauty of Christianity, is that our God has a plan and He has a desire to give us peace. Unfortunately, when most people talk about peace, when they say, well, I want peace, they don't, you need to say, well, what does that mean? What are you talking about? They just got this fuzzy, vague concept, you know, well, I just want everybody to get along kind of thing. And certainly that's good. That's a worthwhile goal. It would be wonderful if everybody could get along. We all know that we live in a world where that's probably not going to happen. And so as Christians, we have an understanding of something, some kind of peace that's deeper. But people want peace. They want peace physically. We might call that security. People want peace relationally. People do want peace across the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived in a world where all nations got together and there wasn't conflict and there wasn't war and there wasn't oppression and there wasn't famine because of that oppression and those kind of things? That would be wonderful. And so people want peace in all of those ways. And that's what we want to think about tonight, is this concept of peace and the peace that God wants us not to just to have. You see, and that's the thing we need to understand about this, the fruit of the Spirit, regardless of which ones we're talking about, is that these are not just qualities that God wants us to have. These are qualities that God wants us to display to the world. These are qualities that God wants other people to see in us. See, that's why we can talk about this in relation to being attractive. Because, you know, when you meet someone and you look at them and you as a Christian know the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, faithfulness, kindness, all those things, and you look at that and you go, wow, that's the kind of person that I like to associate with. That's the kind of person that I like to be around. That's the kind of person that I like to interact with. Those are the kind of people that I like to do business with. And you're not going to hardly find anybody. I don't know if I can say if you won't find anybody, but you won't find hardly anyone who wouldn't say, well, yeah, I would love to be around those kind of people. And so as Christians, as the fruit of the Holy Spirit is displayed in us, we ought to be the kind of people that even non-Christians look at and go, you know, well, I don't necessarily believe what they believe, but I kind of like being around them. There's just something about them. There's just a quality there. There's some characteristics there that I like, that I feel drawn to. And so we become attractive. And so one of those characteristics is this concept of peace. And so let's talk about what the picture of that is. The biblical word peace means the absence of war, but it's not just talking about the absence of armed conflict. When the Bible talks about peace, it's talking about peace on many different levels. Okay? It's talking about peace on many different levels, and in particular in three distinct relationships. It talks about peace between us and God. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, we'll go to there real quickly before we get to that Philippians passage. Colossians chapter 1, let me just read you a couple of verses. In verse 19 and 20, verse 20 is where we really want to focus, but we'll back up to verse 19 so that we get the full thought. It says, and he's talking about Christ here. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Christ, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making, there's our word, peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is one of those verses that tells us that Christianity is different from most other, or probably from all other world religions. Because you don't find in most religious systems, whatever their concept of God is, you don't find God really seeking and wanting peace with people. You don't find God wanting that kind of relationship. You find the God of most world religions kind of saying, well, you know, if you can kind of figure it out and get yourself all straightened out, well, then maybe we'll be all right. But in Christianity, in the New Testament, what do we see? We see God taking the initiative to establish peace with you and me. Why did God have to do that? Because the Bible tells us that before we became Christians, what was our relationship with him? We were enemies. There was enmity. There was a problem between us and God. And God didn't wait on you and me to resolve it. The Bible tells us right here that what God did is that it pleased him, and it was his desire that in Christ, and in Christ dying on the cross for us, he would establish peace with all of mankind, with all of humanity, with anyone who would simply embrace what we know as the gospel, then there would be peace. And many people are looking for peace with God, and they don't even really realize it. You know, and we've heard Phil refer to recently, people trying to find themselves. Well, I got to find myself. I got to discover myself. And what they're looking for is they're looking for peace with something greater than themselves, really, a concept that they may not even define as God, but they're looking for peace with God. I believe that every human being ultimately is seeking peace with his or her creator. We know that creator is God. And the Bible tells us very clearly that God has initiated that process. He has said, it's there for you to have if you'll simply embrace it. And so the Bible tells us that peace is we have peace with God. And then there's also the concept of peace with others. Now for some people, this concept of having peace with others is a whole lot more difficult than having peace with God. Because with others, you rub elbows with them, don't you? You bump into them. Like we said last week, you're behind them in traffic when they're not doing what you think they ought to do. And so this concept of having peace with others is more difficult for some people than it is with God, because a lot of folks think, well, you know, well, me and God, we're pretty tight. We've kind of got our stuff worked out. But you know, these other people, and y'all know how it is. We all understand this, that life would be great if you didn't have to put up with other people, wouldn't it? I mean, it just would be so wonderful, wouldn't it? You know, if you just didn't have to deal with people, everything would be good, wouldn't it? But we all have to deal with people, don't we? And having peace with others doesn't come easily. It doesn't come naturally, because that's where we as Christians know that, you know, you're always having to fight that battle of sort of putting self back down. You know, when Jesus calls us to deny self and to be selfless, he couldn't have called on us to do anything more difficult than to deny self, because our very nature says, no, I want to be pleased, I want to be satisfied, and I don't care if it discomforts you. I don't care if it disrupts your plans. I don't care if it gets in your way. I don't care if it keeps you from having what you want, because my nature wants what my nature wants. And because my nature wants what my nature wants, and when I set out just to get what my nature wants, what does that do? That causes conflict between me and my wife. It causes conflict between me and my children. It causes conflict between me and my coworkers. It causes conflict between me and my friends. It causes conflict between me and the person pushing the other buggy down the aisle at Walmart. That's what it does. And so this idea of having peace with others is very difficult, but the Bible tells us that as Christians, we're to live at peace with others. Romans 12, 18. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible because it's so clear and so to the point, and it just says what we need to hear. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What that verse says is that as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can think of to do to get along with other people. Doesn't matter who that is. Doesn't matter if they're like you or not. Doesn't matter if they like you or not. As far as it depends on you, the Christian, the believer, the follower of Christ, the one who would say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit living within me. I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me. One of those is peace. That should allow me to get along with other people. As far as it depends on you, you exhaust every measure to get along with other people. Now, that's a very simple verse, isn't it? But let me ask you something. How many times do you stop short of exhausting all the possibilities to exist in peace with your spouse, with your cousin, with your friend, with your coworker, whoever it is? How many times do you stop short of, and you know, yeah, I could do more, but I just don't want to. That's not what the Bible tells us as Christians. The Bible says, as far as it depends on you, you do everything you can. You go, well, you know, Ken, does that mean you just lay down and get run over like a steamroller? No, you know I'm not saying that. You know, but I'm always shocked at how we as Christians, we build these little escape clauses into everything. And you know, we've always got these little out clauses. Well, yeah, you know, you just don't have. I'm amazed at the times that we say, well, Jesus said this, and then we explain all the time. We spend all our time explaining what Jesus didn't mean. Well, how do we know what Jesus didn't mean? Let's just go with what he said. And this tells us, as far as it depends on you, you live at peace with everyone. People are seeking peace with others. People are seeking peace with themselves, because when I'm not at peace within myself, I have trouble being at peace with others around me, and I have trouble being at peace with God. But Jesus gives us peace. It's his gift to us. Remember what he said in John 14, 27? He was talking to his disciples, and he said, you know, he's kind of preparing them for his departure. And he's telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Says he's going to send a comforter, a counselor that's going to guide them, that's going to lead them, and going to show them the way. And then he gets to verse 27, what we know is John 14, 27, and he says this. He says, of all the things that he could leave with us, he chooses this. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, in those last days and weeks of Jesus' earthly ministry, as he's beginning to approach this subject and this issue of what's about to happen with the cross and the resurrection and his ascension, and I won't be here physically anymore, and he's talking to his disciples, he says, and guys, when this counselor, this comforter comes, there's a gift that I'm leaving you, and it's my peace. I mean, you know, if Jesus had said, all right, guys, what do you want me to leave you? Do you think they would have asked for his peace? I doubt it. They probably said, well, hey, Jesus, how about some of that power to heal? How about laying some of that on us? Because we would, you know, that would really attract a crowd, and we could do such great stuff with that. You know, if you'll just leave us that ability to, you know, or if you'll just leave us that sort of that uncanny ability you have of when somebody asks you a question and you kind of turn the tables on them by asking them a question back. You know, we really haven't mastered that, but if you could leave us that would be great. But Jesus says, guys, when I'm not here, I'm leaving you my peace. Probably not what they would have asked for. But we can have peace within ourselves because that is the gift that Jesus gives us. So we're not talking about relaxation when we're talking about peace. We're not talking about the absence of difficulty or hardship. We're talking about a sense of, and here these are key words, we're talking about a sense of contentment and confidence in the middle of difficulty and chaos. contentment and confidence in the middle of difficulty. We're not talking about the absence of difficulty. We're not talking about the absence of adversity. We're not talking about the absence of conflict necessarily. We're not talking about the absence of bad circumstances and bad situations and bad news. We're talking about contentment and confidence in the middle of it. Because we've all lived long enough to know that you may go a few days or a few weeks, you know, and things are just rolling along pretty good. But you know there's difficulty, or there's conflict, or there's adversity, or there's bad news, or there's something coming your way that if you're not careful, it'll steal your peace. If you're not careful, it'll make you anxious. If you're not careful, it'll just destroy your contentment and your confidence. And God says that's the kind of peace that He wants to give us. It's where we, in the middle of difficulty, can say, you know, I don't like this situation. I don't like this circumstance. It doesn't make me happy, but I am content and I am confident that God is in control. And so I don't have to go to pieces. My faith may get rattled a little bit, but it's not going to crumble and fall, because I am content and I am confident that God is in control. But we know it's not that easy, is it? We know it's not that easy to maintain our peace, because there are always enemies to peace. So we're going to talk about some of the enemies of peace. One of the enemies of peace is noise. We live in a noisy world, don't we? We live in a world where the cell phone's always ringing, somebody's always blowing their horn, somebody's always needing something from you, somebody's always got something that they're telling you that you're doing wrong and that you need to do a different way. We live in a world full of noise. We're always plugged into something, and sometimes, particularly as we move, you know, more and more into modern society and we get new ways to communicate, new ways for us to be connected to other people, if you're not careful, it'll steal your peace. It'll steal your joy, because we're just always have to be turned on. We're always connected to something, and living in a world of constant noise will destroy your peace. And you have to learn sometimes just to turn that off. You have to learn sometimes to turn that off. Another enemy of peace is relational conflict. Like we said a moment ago, sometimes, you know, you ever felt like you just wanted to just go away to a deserted island and there be nobody around, just you? Just you. I mean, I know you moms understand this, because most of the time you were the one who was at home with the kids by yourself all day. And you may not want to admit it, but I know you've probably retreated to the bathroom and locked the door and just sat. Because you're like, even if it's just for 4 or 5 minutes, I've got to somewhere just be somewhere where there's just nobody can get to me. Nobody can be tugging on me. Nobody can, you know, have a runny nose and be wiping it all over me and that kind of stuff. I mean, we've all felt that way. We've all felt that way where we just wanted to get away because, you know, just that having to deal with other people, it if we're not careful, it'll steal our peace. Because people are messy. Relationships are messy. You know, one of my favorite preachers is Ted Traylor. Y'all may not know who he is, but he's the pastor of Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. One of the best churches I've ever known of. And he preaches a sermon from Proverbs about where there are no oxen in the stall, there's no manure. And he says, you know, if you're going to do ministry, which means you're going to be involved with people, you've got to roll up your sleeves and be willing to shovel some manure. Because that's just people. You know, people's lives are, all of our lives are messy. We've all got some sort of mess in our life. You know, and when you marry somebody or you have kids or you're, you know, dealing with extended family and you work with a group of people, all those messes come together. And sometimes their mess spills over into my mess, or my mess spills over into their mess, and it can cause conflict and it can destroy peace. And you really have to push back against that. You really have to fight that. And just relational conflict, many times, just other people and their nature and them wanting their own way, it steals your peace. Another enemy of peace is fear. Some people lack peace because they fear what's out there ahead of them. They worry and they fret and they're anxious all the time and they're tense all the time because they can't see beyond right now, and they don't know. I don't know what the next hours, I don't know what the next days, I don't know what the next months is going to bring. And that's true of all of us. And you can get so wrapped up in that and wondering, well, God, what's going to happen? Or how's this going to work out? Or is this going to be all right? Or is this going to flop and fail? You can get so worried about that you can't have any peace because you're always worried about tomorrow. What did Jesus have to say about that? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You just live today. Why do you think he said that? Because he knew that when you and I start thinking about, well, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, we lose our peace. And he said, I'm leaving you peace. Fear is an enemy of peace. Anger is an enemy of peace. Now, that's one we don't like to talk about. Because you can't have peace when you're filled with anger. If you've got a short fuse, if you are easily triggered, if you're easily set off, then you won't have peace. Because on any given day, somebody's going to do something that if you've got a quick trigger, they're going to set you off. And you've known people like that. You've known people who it just seems like, you know, it just takes the least little thing and here they go. They're just the bomb waiting to explode. And you can tell there's no peace there. There's no peace in their heart. And so, you know, anger, wow, anger is such a difficult thing to deal with, isn't it? And when we let anger get the best of us, I mean, have any of you ever been angry and said, you know, I'm at perfect peace when I'm angry? I've known some people that I felt like they didn't feel peace unless there was some sort of problem in their life or something like that, you know, but I know that's not really true. But you can't say that you have peace when you're angry. And there are a lot of Christians who struggle with anger. And, you know, if we're displaying the fruit of the Spirit, we ought to be able to control our anger. Another enemy of peace is guilt. Shame over something we've done in the past. Something we can't let go of, something we haven't dealt with in our past. And there's so many people, counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists and ministers are always dealing with people who, when you get to talking to them and you start listening to them, you begin to realize, wow, they're experiencing anxiety. They're experiencing fear. They're experiencing guilt now, not because of what they did this morning, but because of something they did years ago. And they're just continuing to carry that with them. And you've heard me say this before. That, you know what that is? That's what we call baggage. That's what we call baggage. And that destroys your peace. And that's just simply because some people don't understand the release and the freedom that they have in Christ. Another enemy of peace, and this goes right along with guilt, and that is sin. When you're not living right, when you know something's not right in your relationship with God, when you know there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace. You'll be able to function maybe, and you'll be able to get by, and you'll be able to fool people, but you're not really going to have peace when there's sin in your life, because it destroys. Sin causes doubt. Y'all know that. Sin causes doubt, and sin will rob you of your peace. Sin will rob you of your peace. And so these are some of those deeper issues that rob us of our peace: fear, anger, guilt, sin, relational conflict, all those kinds of things. They rob us of our peace when we are not willing to deal with those, and so our only choice is to continue playing the games. Now, what are some things we try to do to deal with these enemies of peace? We're going to talk about right things to do in just a minute, but let's talk about some of the things we do that aren't right. One thing we do is we worry. We worry. Now, I know none of us get up in the morning and go, you know, well, I think I'm just going to worry today. You don't do that, do you? You don't get up in the morning and go, well, you know, I've kind of got some things going on. I am just going to sit here and I'm just going to worry about it. You don't make that intentional decision, but that's what we do. For many of us, that is our default position. When things don't go the way we want them to go, when we're experiencing some anxiety in our lives, that lack of peace, we just worry. We do the very thing that Jesus told us not to do. And if your friend came to you and said, you know, I'm worrying about this, what would you tell him? You would say, well, you know, you'd say something like, well, you know, worry's not really going to get you anywhere. And see, here's the problem most of us have, is that we don't take our own advice. We don't take the advice that we would give to our friend, our neighbor, our kids. Well, you know, honey, just don't worry about that. But then we turn around and worry about something we've got going on. And I know I do that. I know. I'm great at giving advice to other people. I'm terrible at taking my own advice. Any of y'all in that same boat with me? Because you're just like, you know, hey, man, I can see exactly what you need to do. Here's the answer right here. You can just, there it is. But then you turn it around and you start thinking, okay, well, what do I do? Well, you know what you need to do. You just can't do it. You know, as I've done counseling, and I'm not Mr. Psychologist or psychiatrist or anything, I'm really not all that smart or anything, but this is where I am. Most people I have found that have come to me for counseling, as a minister or as a counselor, what I have found is that most of them know what they need to do. You know, it's not like you come up with some solution and they go, wow, I never thought of that. Most of them are sitting there kind of going, yeah, I know that's what I need to do. You know, you're sitting there with somebody, you know, what you need to do is you need to get out of that relationship. Yeah, I know that. Well, why haven't you? Well, you know, and they've got all these excuses and everything. Most of us just don't take our own advice. Most of us just don't put into practice what we know and what we've learned. Instead, we worry. Another thing we try to do is we try to control. When we begin to lose our peace and we begin to get anxious and things aren't going right in our lives, in order to get our peace back, we try to control, whether it's controlling people or controlling our environment or controlling our schedule, because when we can control, it makes us feel better. Because it's like, hey, man, I've got it all. You know, y'all are familiar with that phrase that, you know, if you go to a high school softball game or baseball game or any kind of sport, what are kids always saying to one another? You got this. You got this. Or they're saying, I got this. I got this. You know, now that's great for sports and everything. But see, a lot of people try to do that in life. No, I got this. I got this. What is that saying? That's saying, hey, I got it all under control. I got it all under control. But you don't, do you? You see, a lot of people look at God and, God, I got this. I got this, God. I got this. That's control. But you don't have anything, do you? It's all slipping through your fingers. It's all about to fall on the floor. It's all about to come crashing down. But we try to control until things get beyond our control, because you know life's going to keep coming at you and you're not going to be able to control it anymore. Sometimes we just consume. We try to get that next thing we had our eye on, thinking, man, if I just get that, it's going to bring me peace. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be content because I've got it. I've got it. Have you ever gotten anything that brought you peace? Most of what we get does what? It just causes us to want the next thing better. That's why they're always coming out with new and improved. And it probably hadn't really changed. How much can you change Tide? I mean, really, how much can you change laundry detergent? I mean, it's powdered soap. You pour it in there, but it's new and improved, and so we got to have it. And so we just want to consume. Another thing we do is we procrastinate. We think, well, you know, if I just kind of sweep this under the rug, not do anything, it'll just go away. It never goes away, though, does it? Those are some things we try to deal with these enemies of peace. But now let's talk about the last point, and that is, what is our spiritual fix? Now, I'll tell you, this isn't really my thing, you know, here, this acrostic. This is something that I got from another preacher years ago. But what is the spiritual fix for those times when we lose our peace so that we get our peace back and so that we maintain our peace? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. If you're in Colossians 1, just flip back a page or two to Philippians 4. And let's read verses 6 through 9. Where Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." What do we do? What do we do to maintain our peace? Well, the first thing we do is we got to filter the noise. Not delete the noise. You can't make it all go away, but you do have to learn to filter it. Filter it so that you can focus on God. That means that sometimes you need to turn the cell phone off. It means that sometimes you need to get out from in front of the TV. It means that sometimes you need to set aside some of your busyness. You've got to filter out the noise, because you can't focus on God when you're always on the run. Most of us are so proud of our busyness. Because somebody asks you how you're doing, and what do most of us say? "Man, I'm busy." You know, we wear it like this Congressional Medal of Honor. You know, it's like, hey, I got my medal here because I'm busy. And then we say, "Oh man, I'm so tired, I'm so this, I'm so that." You know, I had a supervisor one time who was saying, and there was a group of us as counselors who reported to him, and we would have to be doing our paperwork and stuff, and some people would be doing it 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Man, I outgrew that a long time ago. But, they'd be up 1-2 o'clock in the morning, and they might have a question, and they would text him or email him. He'd say, "Boy, you know, I answer all that at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning." But he was talking about how busy he was, and he and I were friends. And we were talking one day, and I said, "Well, you know, that's your own fault. That's not our fault. It's like, why do you have your phone laying by your bed turned on at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning? You don't need to be answering these questions at 2 o'clock in the morning. These are things that can wait until 8 o'clock in the morning when you go to the office. None of this is all that important." You see, if you're too busy, that's your fault. It's not anybody else's fault. If I'm too busy to where my life is chaotic and I don't feel like I have any peace, that's not anybody else's fault but my own. And see, as Christians, we have to learn sometimes that it's like, okay, it's time for me to unplug a little bit. It's time for me to step aside. It's time for me to go off somewhere with my family or go off somewhere by myself. My friend in Utah that I tell you all about all the time, they just sold this place, but he lives near Salt Lake City, and there's a monastery in Idaho. And he goes to that monastery a couple of times a year because the monks will let him. He has to put on the little toga-looking thing, you know, to go. But they let him go, and just he can spend a couple days, and, I mean, you know, there's just literally no noise. And so he's able to go and just spend a day or two just praying and reading the Bible and just being quiet. And he talks about how regenerative that is for him. The problem most of us would have with that is we are scared to death of silence. You see, the longer I stand here, the more uncomfortable some of you become. Because you're like, when's he going to start talking again? Because we don't go to church to be silent, do we? But what does the Bible tell us? You know the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." You can know that God is God sometimes when you're on the run and when you're in the middle of all the hectic stuff. But there are times when you need to be still and you need to be quiet. You need to quiet your spirit. And you can't quiet your spirit without quieting your body. And just stopping. That's the only way to maintain peace. If you're on the go all the time, you can brag about that all you want to, but it's going to catch up with you. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You need sometimes to just sit and watch the sunset, because that is an admirable, praiseworthy, excellent thing, and you just need to sit and think about it. And sometimes I think we need to do like we used to do when we were kids. I hope I see some of y'all doing this at Ridge Ferry Park here soon. Sometimes we need to do like we're and just go lay out on a sheet on the lawn and look up and look for shapes in the clouds. You say, well, that sounds childish. It may be exactly what you need. It may be exactly what you see. We lose our childlike wonder of life because we become adults, you know, and we get all puffed up and I'm going to make my mark on the world and all that kind of stuff, you know. But you just need to filter out the noise sometimes. You just need to learn to be quiet and be still and know that He is God and have time to connect with Him. So you need to filter out the noise. Second thing you need to do is you need to investigate for truth. Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, this is Paul speaking, he says, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. You need to keep learning and you need to keep putting into practice what you've learned. You see, a lot of times as Christians, what we're doing is we're hearing another sermon and we're hearing another Bible study and we're going to another Sunday school lesson and we're taking notes and we're jamming it in our notebook and we've got this encyclopedia of a notebook, but we haven't really put any of it into practice. You go, man, I'm going to all this stuff, but you know, it doesn't really seem to be changing my life. Well, have you taken time to put into practice what you've learned before you go try to grab something else and put it in there? You see, because Paul is saying, whatever you've seen in me, whatever you've learned from me, put it into practice. Don't just put it in an envelope. Don't just put it in a notebook. Don't just put it in a data bank. Put it into practice. Live it out. And then the God of peace will be with you. We often think of seekers as those people who are outside the church. But those of us inside the church need to always be seekers too. We need to continually be seeking a deeper experience with Jesus Christ. We need to be continually seeking more knowledge. We need to be continually seeking more intimacy and connection with the Father. Some of us come to Christ and we quit looking, we quit learning. It's like, well, okay, I've made my profession of faith. I guess I'll just come sit on a church pew until I die and get to go to heaven, and then, you know, the fun will really start. No. God wants us to continue to seek. He wants us to always apply, always take what we've learned and put it into practice. And Paul connects that with the peace of God will be with you. So always investigate for the truth and apply the truth, and you'll find God's peace in that. And then the last thing is X out. And see, this is really not me. You can tell this is, I got this from somebody else because this isn't my style. But it says, X out the enemies of peace. And then what does that mean? That means your fear and your anger and your guilt and your shame and your sin and all that stuff. You just bring it to Christ. And you let Him cover that. You let Him blot that out of your life. You let Him blot that out of your life. There's no counselor. There's no pastor. There's no self-help book. There's no better salary or better job or different spouse or different kids that can do that. Only Jesus can overcome these enemies of peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds." And then here's the key phrase, "in Christ Jesus." For any of you who listen to Dr. Charles Stanley, and I know many of you do, you know how much that phrase plays into his preaching. Because Dr. Stanley teaches over and over and over again that if Christians could just get hold of the concept of their identity in Christ Jesus, it would solve so many of our problems that most of us would be a completely different person. If you could just get hold of in Christ Jesus, that is who you are. That is your standing before God. And that overcomes sin, that overcomes fear, that overcomes guilt, that takes care of anger, that helps you control anger. Just knowing I am a person who is in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in me. And because of that, the peace of God is active and alive in my life. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, because of the cross, because of Jesus, you don't have to fear the future. Because of Jesus, you don't have to be anxious about your circumstances. Because of Jesus, you don't have to live with guilt. Because of Jesus, you don't have to live with condemnation. Because of Jesus, you don't have to be a slave to anger or your temper or anything like that. Because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you have the fruit of the Spirit. You have peace. You say, "Well, I don't really experience that in my life." Well, it may be as simple as you learning to tell yourself. If you're going to be a good Christian, you've got to learn to talk to yourself, okay? You've got to learn to talk to yourself. And it may be as simple as you telling yourself, "You know, the Bible tells me that in Christ Jesus, the peace of God exists in me. Jesus told me," and it can be this simple, "Jesus told me in John 14:27, in speaking to his disciples, I know he was speaking to me, all these thousands of years later, Jesus told me, he was leaving me a gift. It's the gift of his peace. And so I'm just going to trust that that's real in my life. I'm just going to trust that it is. And I'm making up my mind right now that I'm going to live like a peaceful person." It really could be that simple. But you've got to be willing to say that to yourself, okay? You've got to be willing to say that to yourself. You know, don't wait on somebody to walk up to you and tell you. You be a good Christian, talk to yourself, and say, "I believe the peace of Jesus Christ is in me. And I will live like that." You see, so that's the plan for having peace. Filter the noise, investigate for truth, X out the enemies of peace. All right, now next week, we're going to move on and we're going to talk about self-control. So all you wild people, make sure you're here next Wednesday night, okay? And we'll learn a little bit about self-control, and then we'll finish up with patience, probably the most difficult one, in a couple of weeks. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this night and for these people who come and for their encouragement. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to study and speak with them. We pray, Lord, that you will teach us and remind us that we possess your peace because Christ is in us. And may we display that for those we encounter this week. And in regardless of our circumstances, Lord, just make our faith steady and sure. And may we be able to overcome anxiety and fear and guilt and worry, because we know those don't belong in our lives as Christians, because we have your peace to stand on. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night.